As you may have noticed, if you've been following with us this summer, we are taking a shift from our typical journey through Matthew to follow what the lectionary suggested in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And I must say, this is probably one of my favorite texts in the whole Bible. I'm pretty sure I quoted it at the beginning of the summer, so that shows you how much this means to me. But as we've already offered through the announcements and just all of the exciting things going on this summer and this coming fall, this text, I believe, really fits with where our congregation is at. As I reflected on how quickly this summer went by and all of the things that have taken place in these 3 months that I've been here, I can't tell you how much joy that it has just brought me to be home with my family, to be home in this family. I'm in a congregation that I know has loved and supported me on this journey. I really can't begin to express how grateful I am for that opportunity to learn and grow as an individual, and my prayer has been that you have also been able to learn and grow in some sort of way. As we look at our text for today, we are going to be focusing and looking at what it means to be offering ourselves as living sacrifices in relationship to Christ, but also what it means to be in community with each other and individual sacrifices, bringing the gifts that we all have to offer. So as we dive into our text for this morning, and we will look at the words that are being shared to us, I invite you to reflect on these past 3 months and what they have meant to you in terms of bringing your life individually and as a community closer to Christ. I see this text as divided into three different sections, and hopefully my clicker is going to work now. We even tested it beforehand. If not, okay, that's fine. So I see this text as divided into three different sections, and I'm going to point out those three sections, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into it. The first section is presenting... Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Being the living sacrifice through our actions that will honor God and the ministry that we are called to do as individuals and later as a community. The second is that we are not to conform to the ways of society around us, but that we are invited to be transformed despite of the society around us. It's easy to fall into the trap of doing something for the sake of conformity, but how do we stand for what we know to be right in the gospel, even if that's different compared to the people around us? When we resist the urge to simply conform, we open ourselves up to have the Holy Spirit work in and through all of us. The third and final point is presenting our community of faith as an offering to God. And this recognizes that we as individuals all have special gifts, and then when we use them as a living sacrifice to God, we recognize all of these things work together, like the human body has different parts. So we've established these three different things in the text, and we're going to dive in here now to them a little more deeply. So we are invited to be a living sacrifice, to present our bodies as a sacrifice to God. The sacrifice God wants is not the traditional dead animal as we would see in the Old Testament, as the tradition would show us, but instead there is a turning of world order around as God is inviting us, living beings, to put our lives together for him. I think that the NRSV translation is a little misleading when it uses the word sacrifice, even though it fits here. A better translation of the word might be to offer ourselves, that we are called to offer ourselves to God. When I look at this past summer and I think about the number of times we have offered ourselves, or you have offered yourselves as a sacrifice to God, I am truly blown away. Just starting with last Sunday and thinking about the huge turnout that we had for the broad fry and for moving the stuff for the rummage sale, it's just overwhelming how generous this congregation really is. The number of individuals who provide meals for families who are sick or who offer to take people to doctor's appointments or who host coffee hour or clean gardens in the yard, volunteer at the Circle of Friends shop. The generosity here is just amazing. So when we look at this first part of the scripture that says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, this is what we are doing here. We are, of course, called to do more than just sacrifice. We are called to do things and not let the ways of society get in the way of our mission. We are called to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed despite of it. So the second point is that we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed. It's so easy in today's culture to be influenced by society through media or billboards, on street signs, even conversations from people and family and friends. Today, if we conform to the values of the world around us, we think we need to put so much time and effort into things that we may not have the money or time to be doing. We feel the need to make something of ourselves, whether that's improving how we look or what we think or particular habits that we hold. We let the people around us dictate how we lead our lives. However, what we really need to be doing is remember who is really working in our lives and by what power we are truly transformed. I love the Message translation of this section that says, don't become so well-adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. How are we intentionally or not intentionally becoming adjusted to the culture around us? One of the commentators I read this week explains it like this. Not being conformed to this world is a tall order. The world will fight at every stage to convince us to look the other way rather than glimpse the injustice, hatred, oppression, immorality, greed, and violence that surround us. It takes transformation, renewal of the mind to detach ourselves from the world's attempt to occupy us with things that do not matter. So there are obviously small-scale and large-scale things that we can make choices to in terms of conforming. Are we allowing these simple things to happen because it's easier than standing up for what we know to be true and right? I want you to take a moment to think about some things in your life right now that you may be choosing to look the other way on in terms of conforming. Or what do we do to adjust to or conform to for the sake of not wanting to put in that extra effort? We are not called to conform, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern the will of God. In thinking of the ways that our congregation has allowed itself to be transformed, I think the best example of that has to be our India ministry. We took the UCC's idea of shift before shift was even a thing. We boldly moved from maintenance to mission. Maintenance in terms of the idea of simply being and existing, whereas the mission pushes us to thrive and strive for working for the greater good of the community, the local community, and the community that we serve in India. As we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, we are working closer towards being the disciples that Christ has called us to be. Another one of the commentators that I read this week says, if we are to live faithfully and not conform to the pattern of this world, fraught as it is with the original sin, we must lay our minds and our hearts open to the piercing love of God, who bids us to love as disciples of Christ in spirit and in truth. And I dare say that's what we are doing here. The third part of our text talks about presenting your community of faith as an offering to God. My member and discernment mentor, Linda Gridmer-Smith, who is a member of a church in Wauwatosa, was a part of the church and ministry team several years ago when their church burnt down. And right after the fire, the news came to interview her, and in the interview, somebody asked her how the church could continue to serve and stay open after this fire. And her response was that the church is thriving and doing just fine. She understood the idea that church was not simply a building. And even after the fire, the Holy Spirit was still in that space. The church would continue their mission, despite the fact that the building was now gone. With that, we recognize that it makes a difference to see the church as a noun, not to see the church as a noun, but as a verb. Not as a place to go, but a living offering of God, or to God. We have had the wonderful adventure of this summer, of being together in this community with Pastor Rich being on sabbatical, and I don't have to tell you how amazing this congregation is to which it when it comes together in community and service together. We've looked at how we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. We are each called to be an offering that is holy and acceptable to God. We are invited as individuals to come together and worship, but once we are here, we become a community of the body of Christ. As we continue to look on to verses 4 through 6, we see what that is supposed to look like for us. And I want to share with you the CEB translation of what that says. It says, "We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us." As we look at the children's sermon this morning, we talked about the most important part of a pen, and the suggestion was the ink was the most important part. But in reality, the whole thing is important. No one part is better than the other. Each part has its role that makes the pen what it is. The same is true for our church. Though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We exist as members of one body of Christ. God enables the body to create its own body of work, prophecy, ministry, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and all of those wonderful things. We can do these things alone, but we do them with more discernment and impact as part of a larger body. None of us can do it all. No single community can do it all. But God empowers each community to do all it can in its particular context. And this congregation has been aware of that context, whether it's being a greeter, or an usher, or singing, or acolyting, or, like I said before, volunteering at the Circle of Friends shop, or serving on the India Task Force Committee. I could go on and on about all of the things that people do here, but the point is that each one of you is important. Each one of you plays a role in making the church and this community what it is, and for that I value you. As you continue on this journey, whether you are getting ready for the new school year to start, or preparing for a vacation, or for a change in season, or simply a new chapter in your life, we are invited to offer ourselves as the loving to the loving Christ, to not let the ways of our society become so comfortable that we become numb to our surroundings, and that we may come together as a community, bringing our gifts and talents that we have to offer as individuals to make a difference for Christ. So as the Message translation says, take our everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. It has been such a joy to be with you in this space this summer, worshiping and learning and seeing Christ working in and through everyone here. The Lord is definitely in this space. And I pray that as Pastor Rich comes back, you may continue to keep your hearts and your minds open to the ministry that this whole community has to offer. Please pray with me.